Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike alongside Johnny. Today's question of the day, if you're watching on YouTube, I pointed the completely wrong way. This way, alongside Johnny. He's over here. He's not out there hiding. Johnny, where has the profit gone? Take us away. Where's all my money going? Where's the profit? People keep telling me I can't make money reselling. And, you know, I'm curious, where's my profit?
Well, it depends what kind of reseller you are. For me, my money goes to my employee, my rent, because I'm in a warehouse, my internet bill, educational expenses, which since tax season's coming on, like Mike subscribing to his channel, that's an educational expense. And all your software programs, if you got an eBay store, goes toward that. Your mailing labels, depending on how you're doing that, it can come directly out of your profits. Shipping supplies, any kind of improvements equipment wise, whether that's computers or carts or totes or IKEA bags, for those still sporting the IKEA. I still have mine, just they're tucked away.
The best bags ever made for reselling.
I know. You know you're a reseller when you're carrying that IKEA bag. I know you. I know what you're doing. You got the IKEA bag. Yeah.
I think like a reseller should develop something like an IKEA bag and like brand it just for like resellers, you know, like maybe it has an extra pouch or something in the side, or maybe inside the bag there's different compartments, right? You know, so like it's an IKEA bag, but you open it up and there's like three different spots where you can put different types of, we're already way off. That's where my profit's going. I'm going to develop a private label reseller IKEA style bag.
There you go. It's just twice as long as a regular IKEA bag.
It's like one of those huge like waste management bags you can buy, and then you put it to your curb and you just fill it up with all your trash and they take it away. It is like, I think of reselling profits with Amazon, at least software. People that start reselling on Amazon, you don't realize that it's almost a required overhead, right? If you compare it to eBay, like what real software do you need for eBay besides like, you know, your bookkeeping or something like that? If you're paying for that, there's none of this listing software, scouting software, repricing software. Like these are things. Sure, you can be successful without them, but with these tools, you get back a lot of time and you can make a lot of money. So like if you sell on Amazon or you're brand new to Amazon, I think there's a lot of sticker shock that goes on because these softwares add up so fast. And I think about when I first started, I didn't realize, hey, I'm going to be spending, you know, some people spend $200, $300, $400, $500 a month on software alone just for Amazon. And I'm like, it can get expensive fast.
I mean, yeah. I mean, let's say you use Inventory Labs, and let's say you're on the month-to-month program and not the year. That's like $70-some-odd. You reprice it, you'd be around $15 starting out, so you're close to $100 already. Oh wait, your Amazon Professional account $40. Now we're over $100 for sure. Have you bought your ASIN labels and/or thermal labels and/or printer paper? Do you have a printer? I mean, there's all these startup cost, they pay for themselves, sure, but just starting, it can seem like, man, I'm spending a lot of money just to be able to do this, right?
I would think that people spend more of their profit in the first 6 months of their business on bells and whistles and softwares and different, you know, types of apps and things than they actually do reinvesting the money into their business, right? Because you sell for 1 month, Johnny, I'm not using the HP printer no more. I need a Dymo or a Rollo, right? That's like, you just have to, or you're not even a reseller, right? And then next thing you need, you got to buy the labels for it. Well, then, you know, the Dymo looks a little plain. Maybe it needs a stand or something. Maybe it needs some stickers. I got to bedazzle my things, you know? And all of a sudden, your profits, yeah, you shake your head no, dude, but I'm telling you, there's bedazzled resellers out there where everything's bedazzled. And honestly, I mean, I wouldn't mind having my Bluetooth scanner bedazzled. I mean, I'd be a bad looking dude walking around with this thing with gemstones all on it.
There's a flossy comment in there, but I'm not.
Yeah, see, listen, you're already halfway there, man. I do think it's weird how people just the profit comes in and you really don't see it. I guess that's kind of what the overall, idea of this question is where does the profit go? And if you're part-time and you're a hobbyist, like it's a little bit different because maybe it's just fun money or vacation money. But for me and you, where it's like your full-time income, I mean, you gotta pay the bills, right? The electric bill, whatever the car bills and everything comes out of that. So the profit just kind of dissipates. And you were talking before this, like almost an envelope system for resale. And like maybe we can patent something like that where it's like this envelope is to buy more inventory. This envelope's to invest for into a retirement account or something like that. I don't
And this really large envelope is for taxes. You should watch our tax podcast that we did just a while ago. That's a good call.
Yeah, it was. That's another important thing is people really don't keep up with bookkeeping. And I mean, we're talking the difference of you keeping up with your books, I would argue is more valuable than you selling some little crap because the money you can get back from keeping up on your books and having deductions for your taxes, talking tens of thousands of dollars, large corporations, millions of dollars.
Oh,
So the
yeah.
possibility's there, but the profit just disappears, man. And I think that kind of wanted to take me into the next thing is fees go up every year. You have to just accept the fact that you got to find better items, or if you're going to sell the same type of items, then your margins are going to get smaller. And I think a lot of people they realize fees go up. I mean, dude, look at shipping. Shipping goes up every 3 months, every 6 months. Deb's like, oh yeah, shipping's going up again because she charges for shipping. And most people don't even account for that. And your margins get smaller and smaller because you keep selling the $10 stuff and not graduating to the $15 or the $20 stuff.
I mean, if you go up in quality of goods, your cost of goods are going to change. I mean, it's going to the bins for your 64 cents a pound. I mean, you make full-time money doing that, but eventually you're going to want to experiment with things outside the bins. And well, I hate to say it, it's going to cost more. And then if you buy, like, I have a cart dolly thing, I have two of them. Those were expensive, but probably my best purchases, but I really didn't want to spend the money on them, but I'm glad I did. Saves my back and all kinds of other injury preventative things that could go wrong with me. Racks for your inventory system.
Got to get the fanciest ones, dude. I don't want the plastic. I want the stainless steel that can hold 50,000 pounds per shelf.
There you go. I mean, office, just general office supplies. I mean, I'm probably a little bit old school here, but I use sticky notes still all the time. I have notebooks and stuff. And the other thing, like gas is expensive. You got to travel, right? Well, unless you're doing the bus line thrifting kind of deal, but even bus money costs money, right?
Yeah, like gas is expensive. And if you're relying on thrift stores, you're gonna have routes that are gonna take you out over an hour one way. And depending on what kind of vehicle you got, gas mileage can be a big, make or break in how much you spend in your business. It can be a deduction, but then you lose your miles, right? So that's another thing you gotta kind of think about. It's people sell a lot of stuff. People are excited to see the sales numbers, right? On your phone, right? We talk about this all the time. Why? When you look at eBay or Amazon, you only see your overall sales number. And they do it on purpose because they want you to see, oh, look at all this success, right? And to you, success is that overall number. But in actuality, I think it would be super beneficial. It'll never happen in the history of any kind of reselling app if they just showed you the actual profit, like your running current balance. And Amazon has that kind of on their mobile app, but it's not accurate. You can see your total balance of, you can see your sales, but you also can see your total balance on the mobile app. So you can actually see how much profit's sitting in, your Amazon account for them to transfer to you. But people don't realize the number people show you, like if you say you're a 100K seller, well, 100K in sales, I mean, if we really think about it, there's people out there that probably sell 100K in sales every year, and they probably make $10,000 because a 10% margin in some business models is actually good. Or what if that 100K in sales is, two items, right? So they made 5 grand on, two 50K items. So there's different business models, but I think people get caught way too much in the overall sales numbers. I think it is an indicator, like if you're growing, you're having more sales. But when it comes to your overall bottom line, I don't think it really indicates anything. Just because you have more sales than somebody doesn't necessarily mean you're making more money.
Right. And on eBay, I mean, you've seen this in any eBay video, that sales bar graph thing. Oh, look at my bars, the big bars, the little bars. It's all over the place. There's actually a big discussion kind of toward the beginning of the year. Why don't we just delete that thing? It's because you can delete on the back end that widget. It's just a widget because it's inaccurate. If you want the real numbers, you have to go to a different area on eBay. It's kind of easy to get to, but why isn't that on the front end? That's way more valuable than this graph of lies. And some people wanted to get rid of it because it was discouraging on low sale days. Like it mentally affects you. Like this is a bad day. It's in your face all day. You're looking at that thing wanting it to go up. It's not for reasons unknown. Well, we can identify the reasons, but just looking at the chart, you can't. So a lot of people, they removed it from their dashboard. They no longer have to look at it. They'll have accurate data going the other way. That's not a bad idea. If you're looking at that thing and having poor sales days, A, you need to fix that. But B, don't have a constant reminder. You already know it's on your mind. You go to your sales thing, you see how much money you're actually pulling in, your net dollars, not your revenue gross dollars. That's way more important. And if they're low there, well, you need to fix something. You need to figure out what that something is.
Yeah, and I think that it's a good point to hit on is profit. Like, where's the profit going? You see, you get a sale every day, or you see, maybe you have a low day, or a day with no sales, and it's crazy how that can control what you decide to do in your business for the next week, right? So, say for example, me, you, we don't have sales today or tomorrow, and come Tuesday, right? We're recording this on a Sunday. We're like, well, there's no Johnny, me and you might as well just pick up the phone and cry to each other for the day because we're not getting sales and things are broken. I understand the mindset of when things are tough, it's hard to be motivated and keep doing the same thing if you're not getting results. But A, that should make you look at, what you're doing. Is there something I'm doing personally within my business? That's the first place you have to look is, what can I do differently to increase my business, to increase a better process? It's not automatically like blaming someone else. I blame Johnny for low sales days. I blame Amazon. Amazon's down, Google's down. I think we have to look within ourselves when we see those low sales days and let it motivate you, because the only way you're going to sell more is if you do more, right? There's no magical pill where, the switch people think eBay turns on and off is, well, the switch must have been off for me today. That's not the case. I'm here to tell you. I mean, I sold something on eBay the other day, dude. I run the lamest, like, I should just do a video on this. I run the lamest eBay store, but when I list items and they're desirable and I promote them at a decent rate, they sell. It's crazy to me. I run the lamest eBay store one listing a week, and I still sell at least one item every single week.
Yeah.
One day, I list one thing that takes 1 minute. I don't understand that mindset of what are people doing where they're listing 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 items a day and they're not getting sales. Like, you're just not doing it correctly. And I think where the profit is gone, you didn't even get to the point of getting profit. And that's like a whole nother discussion is you want profit, but you're not willing to do the things you need to do.
Right, and a lot of big discussions are going on right now in the reseller community of blaming the nebulous thing going, conspiracy thing going wrong with eBay. Don't care. If you list a desirable item for a decent price, lo and behold, it will sell. If you list a junk item, it'll sell at some point at a price dump that you select to do 2 years down the road. There's a lot of things going there, photos, title structure, blah, blah, blah. But if nobody wants this thing, and you're waiting for somebody to get drunk and go shopping on eBay to buy it, you need to be listing better quality of goods, my friend.
You're just busy work, and that's one thing I hate to do. And when
You're
I was in
listing for the
everything,
sake of listing, and that does you and your bank account zero good.
I am the opposite. I want zero busy work within my business. But for some reason, people love just being able to say, "Hey, Johnny, I listed 10 things today," right? If I told Johnny I listed 10 things today, he'd be like, "Dude, what are you doing? I'm sure those listings are crap. And why are you doing 10 listings," right? It's just not my business model. But for some reason, people will go from, "Okay, I'm listing one item a week." Maybe they see, tech put out a video, they're real motivated, and all of a sudden, I'm gonna start listing 10 a day. And they don't realize that those 10 listings, maybe that one quality listing you were doing once a week is better than you doing 10 crappy listings every single day. I would argue it probably is, because the quality listing's eventually going to sell if it's listed right and it's priced right.
Right, and here's another example, since we love to talk about her so much. I'll list 10 Nora Roberts books. Will they sell? Probably in a very long time. Now, if I take those 10 Nora Roberts books and put them together to do one listing, I've now created value with her. That's the other thing. I mean, we get a lot of things. We're compelled. There are things now. Do we need to list them? Yes and no. Either you need to get rid of them if there's no value, don't list them for the sake of listing them. If there's no value there, throw it away or donate it. If there's value there, if you can create value out of it, sure, go right ahead. Just like my Nora Roberts example, there's no value listing them as single items. You put them together in a lot, though, you've now created some value to someone, and you'll now have a higher sell-through rate and profit rate, or get your money quicker at least, than trying to list them individually. You gotta examine what you're buying. You make your money, and this is not my quote. I want to clarify this. This comes from somebody over in the other group. You make your money in the buy. That's where you make your money.
I'm going to give everybody a tip and trick to get more profit in your pocket starting this week. As soon as this week, I'm going to make you more money. If you are thrifting, maybe you're part-time, maybe you're full-time. I literally, this has saved me up probably over tens of thousands of dollars. Shop on discount days. This might sound stupid, and I actually recorded an outtake for the YouTube video, and the file got corrupted. By me shopping during half off days, Johnny, if I'm spending $100 in a single store, instead of spending $200, I'm saving $100. I'm basically saving a dollar per item. Usually the books are $2, hardback a dollar, softback. If I shop on half off days, if you compound that math at just $100, I'm saving over $5,000 a year just in buy costs, and that's only on 100 items. Now, I schedule my routes to go specifically on these half off days. So the Salvation Army, my community aids, they're all 50% off. And then on Mondays at Goodwill, I get my senior citizen discount. Don't judge me, I'm a senior. Those alone are instantly going to put money back in your pocket. And what happens here is, with a lower buy cost, I can be more competitive at lower prices on Amazon. And with Amazon, the lower the price, the higher chances you're going to get the sale. It's really all that matters. So not only am I saving money, I'm in turn selling my items faster because I have a higher bottom price than Johnny. If Johnny's spending two and I'm spending one, I can go down another 50 cents and still make 50% margin, where he can't go down because he'll be losing 50 cents on that sale.
I'm going to, we shop differently. I want to clarify that people differently. I would go the day before the sale and buy everything of value for looking at it from a bulk buy everything perspective. Now, what Mike's talking about is cherry picking and saving cost of money, also very effective. And I agree with that. It's just different strategy and different tactics depending what you're doing with your business.
And competition. I mean, if I had.
I don't want competition. I want it all. I want all the good stuff. I want to take my, I want to put Mike out of business. No offense, Mike.
I think that argument's valid, because if I had a bunch of people scanning and like I went on a half off day and I seen, my competition, there's three of them and they're in every store, I would 100% just go the day before and pay full price and get all the good stuff. Like that,
Exactly.
there's, I guess it's not set in stone. It's like you're saying,
I mean,
everybody's busy.
both are very valid. They are. But if
Yeah.
I've left you nothing to buy, you have no inventory. But if I didn't buy at all and there's stuff left for you, it works great. You saved a lot of money. I agree with that.
There's no point in, if you don't have competition, there's no point in, if half off day is Wednesday, no point in going Thursday. Why are you going Thursday when you can just go Wednesday? Like, if you want this business to work and you want to be, you know, as frugal and as profitable as you possibly can, then you can say, okay, well, I'm changing my Thursday to Wednesday, and you can fit that in your schedule one way or another, where you're whether you're full-time or part-time, you can make it work so that you're not spending as much money. Because a lot of people, when they start, Johnny, they're like, I'm gonna go buy everything in the thrift store. And then your whole bankroll's done. And you haven't even listed anything. You don't have the cash flowing back in. So for me, I'm still cheap as I can be. If I can get 15% off on senior discount day at Goodwill, guess what? I'm at Goodwill on Mondays. Simple as that.
Right. I mean, it's the same analogy of you could contact an estate sale that's going on and say, hey, I want to buy all your books before the actual estate sale goes on. Let's make a deal. Versus going the last day of the estate sale and trying to buy it at rock bottom prices. Both work. They just work differently. And they're both effective in what they do. You got to assign the strategy that you want to do. In the one I'm pushing here on my agenda is you're going to get everything good and bad. The one Mike's doing is you're going to get things good and cheaply, just may not be a lot of it.
Yes.
That's the only difference here. It just depends what you want to do.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good thing to bring up is if you're going to take everything, you better have a plan for everything. Especially if you're new, it might sound good that you're going to get everything, right? Oh, Johnny, they said I can take it all. Well, then you show up and you don't have boxes and you don't have the hand cart, and before you know it, it's 12 hours of your day, you're hand carrying books to your car or your truck. And then you got to get them home and unload them and figure out. And this goes for anything, not even just books, clothes, anything, toys. Their bulk is a great way to get items for next to nothing.
Yes.
But the problem with bulk is, and why most people sink, is the process of getting rid of everything else that isn't good for your business. You can't list everything, whether it's good or a crappy item. You have to have parameters set up in the business of buying bulk so that you know, you touch this item once, is it going to my business or is it going to the donation pile? We're not playing this game where we're going to list every single item. There are bulk models out there that will list everything, but I mean, we're talking a percent of a percent. You have to, because bulk's exciting, right? There's nothing better than just being like, yeah, I'll take it all. And it's like kind of like a treasure hunt. Oh, this is like Storage Wars, dude. But then all of a sudden, you know, a month goes by and that crap's still sitting behind you, and you're like, I quit.
Right. I mean, Amazon, eBay, donation box, what are they called? Your buyback programs. There's two. Oh, this box is going to this bookstore because it'll give me trade credit. Or this box is going to the library or one of those fill a libraries, take a book, leave a book kind of thing. So you can do it that way too. And that's also another way to save money to put more profit back in. Or change out your worthless stuff into worth more books kind of deal. Was your store credit or book for book kind of deal?
Yeah, it's important. And I think about this just even outside of media. Like if you were to go to buy clothes in bulk and you have no clue, like you're just buying like a baler, you know, a baler, a bale of, you know, used clothes, you have to think about what is the accept rate for items that are a good fit for your business, and you cannot bend on your margins. Because what happens here, Johnny, you go in and I say, all right, all the t-shirts, I bought a whole, you know, 1,000 pounds of vintage t-shirts or whatever. My business model right now is I'm only going to list t-shirts that are $30 plus on eBay. Well, what happens here, you're digging through the clothes and you're not finding that many, but you find like, oh, this is a $20, this is a $15, right? And all of a sudden your wheels start spinning. You're like, well, should I actually list this stuff? Because I'm not finding the $30 stuff I'm kind of looking for. I think it's super important to have a line drawn in the sand and you don't cross it regardless. You know, okay, this is my business model. This is what I'm taking. Everything else is irrelevant. You have to have that line drawn because all of a sudden your ASP goes down and then you're not making money. You're spending more time listing the junk. I don't know, man. You can just get carried away so quick.
No, I agree with that. Having rules that you never cross that line in the sand on are so vital in this business because it's so easy to compromise yourself because you see a dollar there or a quarter there. I want a quarter, I want a dollar, but then your time gets spent processing that stuff. storing that stuff. What and then that stuff piles up, and now you have a well, you're storing items to store items that never sell or sell for very little, and you waste a whole bunch of time that you could have allocated to making a whole lot more money. It's don't do it. Just don't be the junk seller. That's for the people that go to flea markets. Don't be the flea market guy.
That's a good thing to bring up too, is you can increase your profit if you are buying large quantities of items by utilizing, the outlets you kind of talked about, right? I think about clothing, like Plato's Closet, right? You can go and you can literally, it's like a trade-in store for clothes. You go and there's options out there, and even if you don't have one of these stores, it's such a lame excuse. And look up somebody, go on eBay, and I tell people to do this, search in your area. And like for somebody that sells books, and if they're getting lots of books, they don't have nothing to do with it. I just tell them, search Nora Roberts' book, search Stephen King book, see if there's other sellers that are willing to, their business model is the $6, $7, $8 book, and then all of a sudden you have an outlet, right? Maybe you get a few dollars back, a few, a pocket full of change, but you're getting something out of it, and it's not an extra step you have to take in the business because you start sinking time. Profit is not only money. It's the time. I think profit needs to be kind of looked at in a way of a time aspect, at least for me, because I try to, I don't want to be reselling 60, 70 hours a week. No offense to anybody out there. You're true hustlers. You're crazy for doing it. I hope you're making, I mean, if you're working that much, you should be making a crap ton of money reselling. For me, I think profit is not just money. It's the time you're spending. Like, what's the profitability worth to you, right? And that's kind of where we fall into why I only list items on eBay at $20, because my time is worth X amount of dollars. If I was going to lower that, then my time value goes down, right? My time is now not as worth as much. If I go up to $30, now I'm saying my eBay time is more valuable than if I went down to $10, and I'm saying, it's really not worth my time to kind of do.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, as you go on this business, you're going to meet people that are in the business. They just have a different jam is how they're conducting it. Like me, I do paperbacks, right? If I go to Mike, hey, Mike, I got all these vintage paperbacks for you, man. You can make a lot of money. He'll tell me to go pound sand because that's not his business. That's not what he does. It's my business and what I do. So if Mike came to me with the same deal, I say, hey, man, bring him on. Bring as many of them as you can. That's great because that's for my business. There's a seller for a certain thing. Like, I forget if she's in this group or not, but there's a woman who does nothing but children's books. I want nothing to do with children's books, but if I get them on a large quantity that it overwhelms my store shop, guess what? She's gonna be my first point of contact. Hey, I got a lot of kids' books I don't want to deal with. Would you like them for a deal?
I think I know who you're talking about, because she was on the one of our, I think she was on the YouTube call last month. She's super smart because children's books are so overlooked. Ever since that call, like I've been making a point to scan the kids' books, and I've just been pulling so much profit out of them. But a good point to bring up is that paperbacks aren't my thing. Any CD or DVD that's not worth it for my business, it ain't my thing. So what do I do with it? It goes in a box and it goes to Johnny. Well, since Johnny does this, I cover the shipping, right? But all my CD and DVD duds go to somebody else that's in the group. They cover the shipping. All I do is put it in a box, send them the dimensions and the weight, and it's gone. I'm not trying to like wring every dollar and penny. I accept the fact that this isn't a fit for me. Sure. There's probably, there's money to be made in the stuff I'm sending Johnny and Mike, all the dud disc. But it doesn't fit my business model, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I'd rather just see it gone, but people can't. I think it's like resellers or hoarders, right? It's like if you're going to be a reseller, you're basically a hoarder. I don't think it has to be that way. I think you can run a super lean inventory operation, even on the bulk level. You don't need to be keeping all the stuff sitting around all the time, and you don't need to try to monetize every single piece of inventory that comes in the door, because you're never going to be able to. You're gonna lose your money. You don't have enough time in the day. You can't hire enough people.
Right. I mean, I just so happen to invite people into my hoard to pick out of and buy. It's called a storefront. I run a bookstore. You got to figure out a way to do it. I don't care if it's a recycler. I don't care if it's a storefront. I don't care if it's mailing boxers to your reseller friends who deal in the particular stuff. Or fire pit outside. Get rid of it. Get it gone. It's a distraction from your core business. You need to be focused on your core business. And to the point of this call, your core business makes you the profit. And what you do with that profit and how you hold on to it, well, that's up to you. Let's get as much profit as we can. And then we can have all the options in the world, right?
There is no, like, I'll give a little bit of insight here to my Amazon business. So when I'm out scanning in the store, I'm paying, thrift retail price for an item. You expect to make a certain amount of profit, right? If I scan a book and the book sells once every week and I'm going to spend a dollar on it, I'm fine with making $5 profit. So basically, I'm going to make $4 in profit after I spend my dollar buy cost. Now, you think to yourself, especially if you're an eBay seller, like you would never sell something to make $4 profit, right? Most people are have a higher ASP. Well, with Amazon, all you're really doing is just slapping a label on the item, right? And putting it in a box. There's no other work that goes into this. You're not shipping it to the customer. I never have answered a customer's question on Amazon. You don't have to, you're not required to. Feedback when it comes to feedback, everything's good condition, right? So, I mean, it's a used book, so you really don't have to worry about headaches with that. All the nonsense that kind of comes along with that. So, that's me at a thrift store. I spend a dollar, I'll make $4. Now, if I do like a bulk buy, like I had a library pickup, I already have these items. My profit goes down because I already have these items in my possession and I need to figure out what to do with every single item. So, it's either going into Amazon or it's getting donated. When it comes to books. So my profit goes down to $3. I paid nothing. So I'm only willing to make $3 profit if these are all items I got from a bulk buy or a free pickup because I need an outlet for these. I don't want them all sitting around. I want to scan them once, make a decision based off that. So your profit depended on your business model. And if you're somebody like myself where, hey, you thrift, but then again, maybe you come across huge lots that you pick up. It can vary, but with eBay, I think you have to have something set in stone because eBay takes a lot more time to do it the correct way. The photos, the listing, the item. I was telling Deb, I listed a Squishmallow last week, and so like they got like names and everything, right? Like I don't even know if she'll show up here. Come on, show up for the YouTube fans. We can't see her.
Put it
She's
in
a
front of you, like directly in front of you. There you go. Now we see it.
24-inch Squishmallow, right? So I go on eBay, and just like most eBay sellers do, on my phone, right? I'm listening through the phone, and I go off one of the ones that's already listed, and all the descriptions are wrong, Johnny.
Of
They
course it
have it different colors. It's not a penguin. They got it listed as like a wolf or an owl or something. I
is.
forget. And I think to myself, the time it takes. That's why I command a higher price on eBay than Amazon and profit on eBay and Amazon, because the time it takes to do it correct is exponential compared to Amazon. So the $3 profit on Amazon, if I'm just slapping a label on it, that's fine. But there ain't no chance I'm taking, 12 photos of Tamara the penguin here, and fixing the whole listing. The barcode needs to get scanned in, the color, the animal, like all of a sudden, your time starts going away. That's why I think most people that sell on Amazon and eBay, when it comes to media, they usually have a higher ASP on eBay because they know the time it takes in comparison.
Right, and it's funny you mentioned poor listings. Like I was doing one on Amazon, and the photo popped up for it. It was a hard lookup, and it was literally somebody's wig with a bowl on it. It was not a book, but I go down to the description. Like, what did I type this the ASIN in wrong or the ISBN wrong? I did not, because all the book information was there. It's just their photos. I don't know what they were photographing, but it was not a book, nowhere close to a book. But the scouting software says it sells frequently. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm sending this in, but I don't know what to say. And I've seen this before, but not to that extreme. But yeah, that was special because it's still going to sell on Amazon. On eBay, that won't fly. But on Amazon, okay, sure, let's play.
All right, before we wrap this up, give me some tips to increase your profit on eBay.
Don't overbuy. Like if you have a quote unquote death pile, list that stuff, get some profit back. You don't need to go out and buy every day. And don't give me this crap of, well, my source is dependent on me. No, he's not. I mean, he likes your money, but he'll find money elsewhere if you don't give it to him. He'll be okay. I don't care if he's got 10 children in the back. Don't care. You're running a business for you and your family, not theirs. Another tip would be get your storage in line. If you just have piles of stuff, you're gonna waste so much time where you could be buying more items or processing better if you're working in a clean workspace. It's okay to pay up for items if you're gonna make more out of it in the long run. I'll spend $10 on a $50 item. I'll spend $10 on a $100 item. You don't have to go down to the bargain shelf to make $4 an item. Schedule, make yourself some kind of schedule, even if it's a rough one, like I'm doing this on this day and you don't have it planned to the hour. At least you have an agenda for the day and or days of the week. That'll boost your money because you have an outline of what you're doing. You're not wasting time thinking about what you need to do. Last one I probably got for you here is do your homework and research so you know what to buy. There's plenty of things out there for both Amazon and eBay that can help expand your knowledge, or spend some time learning your softwares that you're using. Get a little bit more intricate with that. Does it really work the way I think it does? Oh, if I do this, whoa, I've exponentially increased my profit by the year for $10,000. Go make yourself $10,000 by spending 30 minutes of work. Go do that.
All right, I'm gonna take over some eBay or not eBay, Amazon profit increasers. So I think a lot of this boils down to just because you do something on a platform, right? Think about us as resellers when we shop on eBay or Amazon. Like, sure, we'll click into the item descriptions. Sure, we'll click in and scroll through all the photos. I'm here to tell everybody on Amazon, we don't care. Nobody cares. Nobody's clicking through. We're talking maybe 3% of Amazon shoppers or clicking through and seeing your condition note. You can even upload photos on Amazon if you wanted to. There are things that you have to accept. Just because you do them doesn't mean the majority of the population does it. And with these stupid conditionings when it comes to used items on Amazon, it is the biggest waste of time. And me and Johnny have even talked about this. You don't even need condition notes. If you didn't want to have a condition note, I don't think you would see any, you might make one or two extra sales a year. I don't think you would see any difference when it comes to overall sales.
On that, my condition notes are literally the copy paste from the Amazon condition notes. That's my condition note for good and acceptable. That's all I do.
I just had an epiphany for this whole episode. To make more profit on Amazon, do less. To make more profit on eBay, do more. That is literally what it comes down to, because Amazon is just how many items can you send in? How many items can you list at the lowest price to make money? On eBay, it comes down to the quality of your listing, because eBay shoppers, I mean, you want to see the photos of the actual product. You want to see an item description. Personally, for me, as a reseller, if I'm buying something on eBay, I want to see an item description that isn't just see photos for details, right? Like, I need a little bit more, things. And when me and Deb have sold larger items, like she sold embroidery machines, I write like a two paragraph story about the item, why we're selling it, and things like that. I think eBay doesn't have to be a huge time sink to be profitable. I think you just have to understand how the platform works and do it the right way. And if you hover in between where you're like, man, some listings are great, some are not, then all of a sudden you become into one of these And now or relist people, and it's all just junk. It just doesn't work. So we're gonna wrap it up there. We appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.